afternoon, and thanks again for everybody being on this line as we work through this COVID-19 pandemic. Things are going very, very well in the city. I thought I'd announce that first conference call with the chief this morning. Really no incidents last night, so things are progressing very well vis-a-vis our citizens' response to the ask from the healthcare officials in their actions associated with the COVID-19 pandemic. I hear Dr. Canton on the line, so please go ahead, Doctor.
Thank you, Mayor Perry. Good morning, everyone. So for the Porcupine Health Unit, we can report that there were no new positive cases reported in the last 24 hours. The current number of confirmed positive cases remains at the total of 60, 10 of which remain active, and 46 have been resolved. As of the end of the day yesterday, over 2,164 COVID-19 tests have been completed across the Porcupine Health Unit area. We continue to encourage individuals who have symptoms that may be suggestive of COVID-19 to first remain isolated at home, wash your hands often and well to ensure not to spread any potential infection to others, and then to call the Porcupine Health Unit or your primary care provider for referral to an assessment center as we continue to work to increase the number of tests done across the region. We recognize that these changes that we've all been following for some time now are really challenging for everyone involved, and that taking care of mental well-being may be extra difficult at this point in time. We encourage individuals to continue to reach out to loved ones, to other avenues for support, and to make sure that the usual ways of promoting well-being, such as enjoying outdoor recreational activities, with those that you live with in your immediate household are continued. We will be posting more on the Porcupine Health Unit Facebook and other media channels with respect to mental health and well-being. And please refer to the five ways of well-being and some activities that you can do to stay well and stay safe during this time. The Porcupine Health Unit has also been distributing for some time now, but I want to promote once again resources for owners of apartment buildings or other multi-unit dwellings. These resources include posters that can be posted regarding how to reduce the risk of transmission of COVID-19 and other information about cleaning public spaces, as well as using shared laundry facilities. To receive this package, building owners can send us their email address through a direct message on our Facebook page or by calling the COVID-19 information line. The COVID-19 information line is open again today from 11 to 3 and will be open Monday to Friday again 9 to 5 throughout the week. While we have heard that there are some changes coming with some increased opportunities for certain businesses to open in the coming days, some beginning tomorrow, we want to recognize and remind everyone that this does not mean return to business as usual. In fact, we will continue to work with all communities, business owners, and community members to ensure that the precautions necessary are in place to reduce potential spread as we cautiously see some changes in return to certain activities. We need to remind everyone that it is absolutely critical when outside of the home and away from those within your immediate household to please maintain physical distancing of 2 meters at all times. Wash your hands often and well using a hand sanitizer or soap and water for a minimum 20 to 30 seconds. Refrain from touching your face, cough into a sleeve or a tissue and discard it immediately, then wash your hands again, and wash down frequently touched surfaces. There will be lots of information in the coming days with respect to changes that are announced, and again, we cannot emphasize enough that this does not mean a return to business as usual for any businesses or any communities. We need to remain steadfast and stay the course. We need to continue to take the steps necessary to reduce the spread and reduce tragic outcomes. While this is promising news from both provincial and federal health officials regarding the slowing of numbers of cases of COVID-19, we still must be cautious. It is critical that we continue to stay the course and take the steps to protect our loved ones, our communities, and the general public. Please continue to follow the measures, and thank you so much for following them and working so hard to keep everyone safe. Stay home, stay kind, stay positive, stay connected, and stay well. Thank you. Merci, Miigwech.
Thank you, Dr. Catton. Next, we'll go to Kaylee Russell with the Timmins and District Hospital.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Just a quick update from the hospital. So the safety and well-being of our staff and patients continues to remain our top priority as we continue to work closely with the Porcupine Health Unit. We will ensure that all evidence-based precautionary measures are and continue to be implemented at the hospital. It's crucial that we continue to adhere to the social restrictions that have been implemented by public health, even with reports of new cases slowing. We understand that these restrictions are not easy, but continued adherence to these measures will ensure that this pandemic remains as short as possible. As the province has announced steps for easing public health measures and opening certain businesses, we have to remember that these steps cannot be rushed. As has been mentioned many times, relaxing these important public health measures too early could lead to the undoing of all of the progress that we've achieved so far. The hospital remains committed to being there for you when you need us most, and in turn, we are asking you to stay safe, stay home unless it's for essential travel only, and please wash your hands often. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Kaylee. So we'll go right now to the media for any questions for the health professionals.
David, excuse me, it's Bob at Moose FM. I have a question for Dr. Catton. Good afternoon, doctor. Just wondering, it's been, what, 3 or 4 days since any positive cases? Is this a good sign that we're starting to flatten the curve? And can you see the day in the near distant future when we'll be able to do, as they say in New Brunswick, double our bubbles?
Hi, Bob. Thanks for the question. Any day without having to announce a positive case or without having to announce a tragic outcome is definitely a positive sign and a positive day in our minds at the Porcupine Health Unit, and I think for all of our community. However, we must always take these days with caution. And so while it's always positive news, and I think it's always a good sign that we're heading in the right direction and we're seeing people doing the important measures necessary to reduce the spread, we also need to recognize that we will still see more cases. I think it's some time away from predicting exactly what changes we may see with respect to our abilities to visit with others at this point in time. And likewise, I think it'll take a little bit more time to determine exactly where we are on the curve. So it is cautiously optimistic, but at the same time, I cannot caution enough that it doesn't mean we can let our guard down. We have to absolutely stay the course at this point in time. Thank you.
Thank you, doctor.
Okay, any other questions? All right, hearing none, we'll go to Brian Marks with the Cochrane DSAP.
Thanks, Dave. Good afternoon. For emergency medical services, 23 calls yesterday with 16 in Simmons, and 8 of those failed the screening protocol. Just remind people that in addition to our busy schedule, we are also the site for the PPE drive, which continues today between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. That's at 500 Algonquin Boulevard East. Food security, Lord's Kitchen last night, 58 meals were served, 42 were sent to living space. And the McIntyre, 28 meals are served over breakfast, lunch, and supper. And the homeless numbers remain relatively the same, with 18 at the McIntyre, 28 at Northern College, and 8 at the transitional units of living space. In addition to being available 24/7 for the living space to monitor social distancing at all three sites, this weekend we have outreach patrols who are downtown Timmins, picking up any needles which have become visible after the spring thaw, after the rainfall in the last couple of days. And that's all for today.
All right. Thank you, Brian. There's not a message this morning from Chief Gauthier, so we'll bounce back to the media for any general questions.
Hi, it's Lydia from CTV.
Hi, Lydia. Go ahead.
This question is for Brian Marks. I'm just, or for Dr. Catton, I know that the opioid overdose level had reached red the other day. What's the situation now?
Hi, Lydia. I can start with that if that's okay with Brian.
Sure.
Thanks for the question, and I meant to make note of it again today, so thank you for the prompt. We are still in red, so we continue to monitor the situation closely with all of our community partners, and we definitely need to continue the conversation with community partners, community members, family, friends, and neighbors who may be at risk of an overdose due to exposure to substance use. And so we continue to definitely increase access to naloxone and increase conversation around not only overdose prevention, but awareness of potential changes in the drug supply that signal higher levels of concern. So thank you for flagging it for me, and I think it's something we need to continue to ensure is at the forefront in all of our communities. And we know that our community partners, including the Cochrane District BSAB Living Space, all of our mental health and addiction services, pharmacies, acute care hospitals across the region are also ensuring that they're increasing that conversation and ensuring access to naloxone to save lives. Thank you.
I have one more question to add on to that. Is that okay?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. So what kind of a pressure is this placing on our frontline workers, the increase of suspected overdoses?
Sorry, it's Brian. Are you referring to frontline healthcare workers or those who work
for
in shelters or all of the above? Okay.
I guess this more specifically then about the paramedics and hospital staff, coupling with this PPE drive. I know that there's not a tremendous shortage. They're just trying to ensure their supply in the event that there was a situation. But I guess, how many people per day are dealing with suspected overdoses are coming into contact with frontline workers such as paramedics and hospital frontline workers?
Sure. Well, while the calls are up, the number of overdose calls, since April 15th, we've received over close to 30 calls for overdoses. And that is an impact on the paramedics, just given the fact that we're already operating at a heightened sense of stress when it comes to calls, because an overdose call is not easily screened for the presence of COVID-19, given the fact that the person is typically almost always unconscious. So paramedics show, although it's the nature of the job that paramedics show up to a scene not knowing all of the details before they arrive, it's just one more example of stressors that are put on the paramedics before they show up to the call. So that has an impact. The fact is that the bulk, if not 90% of the calls for those overdoses to date, or at least in April, have not required transportation to the hospital, given the fact that once naloxone is administered, quite often the people walk away and don't want to the transportation to the hospital. The nature of the abuse is not really correlated to any of the circumstances related to COVID-19. That's just typical of opioid addiction and the application of naloxone, at least within a paramedic context. So there is a stressor there. As far as shelter workers, though, it's definitely a worry, given the fact that in order to ensure social distancing in a homelessness context, we are putting people in individual rooms with individual bathrooms and individual kitchenettes. So living space staff have to make a more concerted effort to monitor people in those environments, just to ensure that someone who may overdose doesn't go hours without receiving the help that they need. So there is an increased pressure on the shelter workers, not to mention the fact that we've spread the homeless population over three sites, which is also a stressor on the living space personnel. So, I mean, kudos to the living space personnel for stepping up and realizing the prime objective here was to ensure people get COVID-19 in a vulnerable population that is the homeless, and then also to, you know, not reside in settings where the spread could take place untracked. So they've done a remarkable job.
Okay, thank you. And you said as of April 15th, 15 suspected opioid-related overdoses?
Well, actually, since the 15th, it's closer to 30, almost 30 calls.
Since April 15th, almost 30 calls?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Any further questions from the media? Hearing none, we'll move to Mayor Perry for closing remarks.
And once again, thank you everybody for being on the line today to get the most up-to-date information we have from our healthcare professionals on the COVID-19 and epidemic as we make our way through this in the city of Timmins. For everybody that's out there on the front lines, again, thank you very much, and I extend that gratitude to the cashiers and cleaning people that are there, doing a magnificent job. This week is a very, very important week for the city of Timmins vis-a-vis the COVID-19. We are expecting the results of hundreds of tests as we make our way through this week, so we'll be awaiting them anxiously. However, I am very, very encouraged, as Bob McIntyre is, with the news out of New Brunswick that, in fact, they've stated today that all their cases are resolved, and I know we can do that here. I know we can do that here because we have a very motivated community. The community is on board with this. They're following all the rules and regulations associated with the proper handling of COVID-19. So I'm very encouraged that we will get there. I feel a little bit like this week will be kind of like graduation day. The nurseries will be opening up, and you can see the fencing in by Yates. So we've been at school with this disease now for a couple of months, and as we open up the economy, it'll be graduation day. Have we learned our lessons? Remember that everybody out there now is the author of their own destiny, as they always have been, but as the economy opens, then these are the test dates. And I'm positive we can do it. Week is it's very important too for a number of reasons. It's the emergency preparedness week 2020. Couldn't have happened at a better time. Takes this year as we deal with the defining global health crisis of our time. Ontarians are staying home and doing what they can do to protect themselves and stop the threat of COVID-19, while frontline personnel and first responders in the community are working tirelessly, helping others and mitigating the impacts of this deadly virus. So it's Emergency Preparedness Week 2020. We've got our Chief Logan here who heads that for us here in this community. And I want to say a special thank you to everybody involved in this in the community. They've done an outstanding job. And I don't think where we would be where we are without that type of leadership in that front. So very important week as we work through this. The other thing, of course, it's also Canadian Mental Health Week. Again, it ties in very nicely with COVID-19 and the stresses and strains that people are under in relation to this. And the Prime Minister had an announcement this morning of X number of millions of dollars associated with improving the online functionality of providing these mental health services. Again, very, very welcome news as we progress into this century and are able to deliver all these services better. So Canadian Health Week, no one needs to feel forgotten or lonely out there as it relates to really anything, but in particular this COVID-19 pandemic that we're all in together on. At the same time, as I always like to do, we've got some tremendous community partners. And this is one of them here. This is Aliyah Bud, 14, and her little sister, Ariana, 12. And they've been picking up garbage alongside that. This particular picture is alongside the airport road. They've been doing it and collecting it. And again, concerned citizens that have never forgot exactly what it means to be a member of the Timmins community. So thank you very much to the Bud sisters. As always, there's events in our around us that are not handled, can't be handled in the typical fashion. And I do want to send out, on behalf of the whole city of Timmins and council and myself, condolences to Councillor Campbell, who lost a sister yesterday, and the Campbell family, the whole family, our deepest condolences. It's a very trying time and difficult to deal with these types of losses in these situations. So our thoughts and prayers are with you. With that, we'll talk again tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Perry, and thank you to the media once again.